Hey, volleyball coaches, the new USA Volleyball Coach Academy is available now. Subscribers will have access to engaging interactive modules taught by top coaches from across the country, including national team coaches and staff. From fundamentals to advanced play, all coaching content is based on the USA Volleyball development model to help you coach the whole athlete. USA Volleyball members will have free access to the bronze tier. When you're ready to level up, you can subscribe to the silver or gold tiers. Live online sessions are only available in the gold tier. Watch out for more information on USA Volleyball social media and the USA Volleyball website.
City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello, and welcome to the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. My name is Stephen Munson, and of course, as always, usually joined by my co-host, Clarence Hughes. Clarence, how are you doing?
You know, I was doing great and I'm not doing too well. Stephen, I feel like you really, really just, you know, cut it at about 3 seconds there. You know,
Clarence, we have a great episode. I'm just trying to get to the meat of the episode right now.
Okay, trying to get to the main entree. I see what you're doing.
That's there. Right. That's right. Clarence, how are you doing?
Well, yeah. Who's going to answer first?
I will answer. I'm doing great. I had a couple short weeks the last couple weeks. I took some time and went back home to Dallas, saw my family, saw some friends. The main reason for that trip was my long-running Dallas fantasy group for football.
Wow.
Fantasy football group. So that was a lot of fun doing that, seeing my friends and of course, yeah, seeing my family. That was great.
You know, fantasy football, it's real, it's serious. And you know, you drop a pass, you run a mile. You miss a blocking assignment, you run a mile. I'm just kidding.
I saw your Instagram story with Denzel Washington. Remember the Titans. Great movie.
That's my all-time favorite.
It's been a while. Actually, in middle school, I think almost every week my PE teacher put that on.
Really?
And it was great.
That is a great PE teacher because I can literally quote that movie like start to finish. It's ridiculous. But
don't quote me on that time frame, though. I don't know if it was middle school when it came out. I might be. I'm not sure. Anyway, yeah, Clarence, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, had a couple long weeks, just a lot of work happening and a lot of Z Drive access I don't have access to right now. So it's great in the middle of budget season. So we're working through that. But I mean, outside of that, just a lot of coaching. You know, I got a couple of our club clinics happening every Sunday over at Velocity. So I've been doing that. So it's been good to kind of stay in club vibes. And then also right in the midst of high school season. So that's a lot of interesting fun. I'll put it in those words right now.
Yeah, we were just talking before. Congratulations, stepping in for at least temporarily as the head coach for your school team there.
That is correct. You know, a lot's been happening right now, and you know we're in a season of development and reshaping and stuff too. So it's a short term thing that might turn long term. I don't know. We'll see. But you know, we have a game. You know, as of dated today, as of time of recording. So gonna wish us the best of luck. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Congratulations. Certainly exciting. And just don't forget where you came from, where you started right here on the USA Volleyball Show podcast.
Straight out of the USAV show.
When you rise to coaching fame.
Oh my God, stop.
All right, let's jump into the episode here. Before we get to the news, be sure to check out last week's episode featuring U.S. Men's National Team middle blocker David Smith, who talks about his hearing loss, the challenges that brings for him and his teammates, what it means for the team to earn silver at Volleyball Nations League, living overseas with his family, and much, much more. Listen to episode 44 right now on all podcast platforms. Now, here we go with news with Hughes.
And I'm just kidding. All right. First up with News with Hughes, USA Volleyball announced the launch of the USA Volleyball Coach Academy, an online and interactive platform for volleyball coaches. Each month, high quality content will be added from top volleyball coaches, experts, and educators, including U.S. national team coaches. All member coaches get free unlimited access to bronze level content, as well as discounts to upgrade to silver and gold tiers. Learn more and subscribe at usavolleyball.org. Also, U.S. Women's National Team competing at the Pan American Cup Final Six took silver after falling to the Dominican Republic in the final. Really, really, really great set. They fought their hardest, but, you know, obviously fell short there. Up next here, we have a big congratulations to Michael Valenci and Ryan Merck from Penn State University for winning the USA Volleyball Men's Beach Collegiate Challenge. The pair went 7-0 through the tournament after finishing 9th last year. What amazing turnaround right there. 7-0 and was able to finish first after finishing 9th last year. So big congratulations to them right there. U.S. men's national team finished 6th at the FIVB World Championship after falling to Poland in a 5-set thriller. The U.S. men fought back to force a 5th set after losing the first 2 sets. Almost pulled off the reverse sweep there. Aaron Russell led all scorers with 24 points. So he clearly had a great day, killed it there. Also, we have a congratulations to Haley Harward and Julia Scholes for winning gold at the World University Championship in Maceió, Brazil. The pair only dropped 2 sets during the entire tournament. You can learn more and all other news items at usavolleyball.org.
I was helping out with coverage for the World University Championship over the weekend and watched a lot of Haley Harward and Julia Scholes, and they were phenomenal during that tournament.
Really?
And it was a torrential downpour for at least the semifinals. I'm pretty sure during the finals as well, or at least part of it. But they pulled through. Rain did not stop them, and they took gold. The semifinal was back and forth too. Mm-hmm. Went to 3 sets, but that was the big match for them. And then they kind of just took it away and took the final by
That's
storm.
Cool.
But yeah, they were fun to watch.
I see what you did there. Rain took the final by storm. No pun intended.
All right. On to today's show. We are excited to welcome U.S. Women's National Team setter Lauren Carlini. Lauren and the team are gearing up for the FIVB Women's World Championship beginning September 23rd through October 15th. The roster will be announced shortly before the event starts, so be on the lookout on USA Volleyball Social and the website for that. You'll be able to watch live on volleyballworld.tv. But while you wait, here's our conversation with Lauren. Lauren, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us. I know you're gearing up for Worlds right now, training hard in the gym, and it's getting crazy. You just got back from USAB Cup as well in SoCal, but really thank you and can't thank you enough for taking the time to sit down with me.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm going to start things off, go off script right away. So I'm going to throw you a curveball, off a little different than, some of our conversations, but just for our fans listening, what's something that they probably don't know about you? It can be, can be like a book series, movie series you nerd out about. You were just talking about PlayStation before this. Are you a gaming nerd? Like something like that.
Honestly, like one of the most embarrassing things I can say, and I will date myself right now, but like I used to be a hardcore gamer when I was in probably like middle school, high school, like a little later than I should have been. And I was super into RuneScape.
Oh, nice. Wow. And I haven't heard RuneScape in a long time.
Yeah. My boyfriend and I were actually talking about that the other day. And he's like, you're such a nerd. Like you played that. And I was like, for embarrassingly long. Like I was pretty legit. And I finally nixed that at like, I don't know, maybe 17 is when I kind of stopped. So, Yeah, gosh, now the whole world knows and now I'm embarrassed. So yeah,
I love that. I'm glad I asked that. Yes. I didn't know that about you. A gaming yeah. nerd. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a gaming nerd. So I love that. I love that answer.
Yeah.
When you said embarrassing long hours, the first thing that hit my brain was Farmville. Did you ever play Farmville like on Facebook like back in the day?
I've never got super into Farmville. I remember when I had like a Nintendo and I would play like Nintendogs.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that your dogs don't die or you gotta feed them.
Check in on them every day. Yep.
Of course, of course. So I was really big into like Nintendo and PlayStation stuff. Like Gran Turismo. I love cars and like racing. So I was super into that. I wasn't really into like war stuff or anything like that. But yeah.
It's amazing what Gran Turismo looks like nowadays too. Just the graphics.
I don't even want to know because I'm going to want to buy.
Just keep those good memories. Keep those good memories in your head too from back in the day too.
Yes.
Awesome.
Had the steering wheel and everything.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Swear.
Really?
Swear.
And the pedal?
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
That is awesome. I'm so happy I asked that question. Perfect.
Good job.
We'll have to talk gaming another time too. Maybe next time I see you in person, we'll whip out the Nintendo Switch or something and play some games. But
there you go.
Let's jump into, you know, a question we love asking all of our guests because it's always different. How were you introduced to the game of volleyball?
Yeah. So I started volleyball when I was like 5 or 6 years old. My mom played in college at Appalachian State, who actually has had a huge football win this weekend.
I was going to say that after you finished talking.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yep. And so she played there in college. And when she had me, just brought me in. She was at that point playing in like women's leagues, on Monday nights, Wednesday nights, and would just always bring me in. And so signed up for club at 6 years old and played for them for 11 years. And that's kind of how I started the whole volleyball career. Just being brought in with my mom for my mom. And I just loved being in the gym, total gym rat. So the love of the game grew immediately and I just loved being in there.
I don't think I was at your interview when you said this, but I edited the video, your Path to the Podium video, and you had a drawing of yourself. Just for our listeners, can you talk about that? That's incredibly cool when I saw that story.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I want to say I was maybe in like 6th, 7th grade when I drew this. It was super random. I'm a horrendous artist. Horrendous. I mean, that was literally the best drawing I've ever done in my entire life. And it's basically just me in a USA volleyball uniform, number 7, everything. And I don't know, maybe it's manifestation, right? And kind of just willing things to happen. And it's just cool kind of how it's come full circle. And here I am, you know, 20 years later, whatever it is, in a USA uniform and, you know, competing with number 7, and the American flag on me. So yeah, pretty awesome.
That's so cool. Yeah. Full circle in that moment. What's something you would tell? How old were you? Did you say 8 years old?
So I started when I was 6.
6. When did you draw that picture?
I drew that probably when I was like, let's see, early middle school. So maybe like 10, 11.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What's something you would tell your 10 or 11 year old self, you know, after, you know, you're drawing that right now, maybe you walk up behind them in your USA. What are you telling them?
I think just whenever you believe it, like for myself and anyone really, it's just whenever you're passionate about something, go for it 100%. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be something with the arts. It can be something in sports. It can be mathematics. If you're passionate about it and you believe in it, that's going to take you a long way. And just going for it with 100% of your heart as well and giving 100% of your work ethic. I think that's huge. You're not just going to fall into something amazing like this at a high level. It's about working towards it and dreaming it, writing it down, and kind of manifesting it. So yeah, don't limit yourself. Go for it. Give everything you got.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. You've had an incredible career It's not over yet, obviously, but you know, you've had so many accomplishments, awards given to you that you've earned through competitions, bestseller awards, whatever. I have here that you were Gatorade Player of the Year, 2012 and 2013. What was that like, earning that honor?
It was kind of crazy wild because my high school team, I didn't play at like a super prestigious high school or anything. It was just a public high school. And a lot of that goes down to with the process they use. It comes down to your high school season and kind of how you produce there. So it was a little bit of a shock that I got it. It was cool that I got Illinois. And then I think, I don't know if it's that day or the day after they announced the national Gatorade Player of the Year. And, yeah, I just remember walking into school that day and I don't know how no one told me. I got all the way to like fourth period.
Oh my gosh.
All of a sudden April Ross walks in and like presents the trophy.
What?
And I'm like, and it's literally the one day my senior year where I wore jeans. My mom was preparing this thing in her head. She was like, okay, they told us a couple of days ago, Lauren has to look halfway decent. Like, how am I going to tell her to wear jeans? Like, she doesn't wear jeans. That just happened to be the day where I was like, I'm going to wear jeans today. So anyways, yeah, just being presented that, and we had a whole like assembly, like school-wide assembly. And it was just so cool and just really soaking in that moment and embracing it. I'm glad that I kind of took that in at the time. And of course there's video and stuff still to go back and kind of look at it. I know my dad does for sure, but just a really prestigious honor. The names on that, not only for volleyball players, but for every sport, is just absolutely insane. So that's definitely one of my fondest memories of my volleyball career so far.
Yeah, because that's not just volleyball. That's all sports. Right. So that's incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So getting to meet some of the other sports, that was one of the coolest parts, was coming out to California here and just meeting, you know, all the other Gatorade Player of the Years. Great, great experience.
I know the beach national teams, indoor national teams are pretty close. Are you friends with April Ross now? Like, do you talk about that at all?
We've ran into each other a couple of times. Okay. We live in similar areas here in South Bay. And so just like her and Alex Kleiman, we kind of run in similar circles. So, it's just, we saw each other a couple of months ago at one of the restaurants, and I like reintroduced myself and I was like, hi, I'm Lauren. She's like, Lauren, I know who you are. You know, you are. I'm like, okay, just making sure, you know, you're a little bit of lesson. So yeah, just fangirling a little bit, but just really cool. Again, kind of full circle how, you know, I was being awarded this and now we kind of run in similar circles and she's an Olympic gold medalist. It's just really, really cool.
I feel like that's volleyball too. It's just small world, especially out in California too. You know, you're always out there on the beach or, you know, training in the gym and you never know who you're going to run into.
Totally.
Yeah. Did you make it on a Gatorade bottle as well?
Yeah. So they like printed up Gatorade bottles for us and we got to all go out to California and attend the ESPYs and, just meet really like prestigious athletes and just not only getting to know them as athletes, us being able to sit down and have those conversations about what it takes to make it in our sport and what it takes to kind of get to that level. And that level of conversation when you're 17, 18 years old is just like, whoa, like that is so advanced and just super unique, kind of the connections we got to make at that age. And I still follow a lot of them and keep in touch with some of them. So that's, I think, one of the better parts is just keeping those relationships and kind of following them throughout their career.
What a cool thing to just say, you know, I was on a Gatorade bottle.
I think.
Do you still have?
The house.
Did you get to pick the flavor or was it on all Gatorade bottles? You know,
it was on, they like had it at this, I don't know, whatever ceremony we were at, they had them all printed. And I want to say they were all orange, unfortunately, because does anyone really like orange?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say maybe I like orange. Just one of my favorites, but
to each his own.
Yep. I always wanted to be on. I was a really weird kid. I loved Wheaties. That was my favorite cereal. You know, wasn't Fruit Loops or Frosted Flakes or any of that sugar stuff. I loved Wheaties for some reason, and I always wanted to be on a Wheaties box.
Oh.
Yeah, I always wanted to be on a Wheaties box, but still haven't got it. But there's still time, though. There's still time.
Not yet. Exactly. The power of yet.
Never give up your dreams. That's awesome. You mentioned you went to the ESPYs. What do you have, like, any memorable moments or like a funny story or moment from that experience?
You know, it wasn't, I can't remember any like funny moment or anything like that, but of course LeBron James walked in. This is when he was like prime time of his career, and just everyone trying to kind of like go by him and not even get a picture with him, just like wipe his arm, just say like, ooh, I wiped LeBron James.
James, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it was cool. We were able to meet Misty May Traynor, and who else did we end up meeting? Phillip Rivers, quarterback in the NFL now, and Paul George. So we got to run in and like just have just really short, cool conversations with some people. And then of course, yeah, just like, oh my gosh, it's Colin Kaepernick. Oh my gosh, it's LeBron James. Just being able to kind of rub elbows with these people was incredible.
Man, that's so cool. I don't think I would have been able to speak. I would have just blacked
just
out.
Lots probably of nodding.
Yeah. Yeah. Smile and wave.
Smile and wave, boys.
That's right. I'm glad you got that reference. Awesome.
You're welcome, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of staying on your accomplishments and everything. You were number one recruit going into college. What was, I guess, how did it feel? I mean, you were young too at that time, like to know that you were the number one recruit in the nation. What was that feeling like?
It was cool. It was very powerful for me because I knew that the amount of time and work that I had put in towards perfecting my craft or being as close to perfection as I can get, kind of paid off in a sense. And whether you put that in a numerical sense, whatever it is, it was still this feeling of gratitude and accomplishment at the same time of, okay, this is kind of, I checked the box. Awesome. Number one recruit. Now what can I do? What's the next thing that I can go after and kind of try to achieve? And so that was a nice little like exclamation point at the end of my high school career and my club career. Moving into college then and kind of trying to build off of what I'd done the past 11 years. So it was awesome. Again, very unique experience. And I was honored to be named the number one recruit. But at the same time, it was also great to see people who I played with in high performance coming up through the USA pipeline. And I mean, I knew them through playing HP. And seeing them ranked as well and just kind of getting to know them and their stories. And then just seeing how that also kind of get put in this numerical, whatever order, but also went on to go do great things in college and beyond. So that was kind of what was unique for me. And I really liked was just being able to see others as well, like succeed. And no matter what their number is, like they're out here balling and they're going for it and doing awesome things.
Is there anything you learned from that experience? Just kind of realizing you're the number one recruit, you're going into college, just looking back now, or even, you know, maybe a couple of years into college, looking back at that experience, anything that you learned that you might, you know, maybe share with others who might be listening, who may be going through that same thing?
For sure. I think no matter what, it's just a number, right? And it's just a ranking. It doesn't actually mean anything in the grand scheme of it. So always stay humble and keep working. Just because you made some list or you made some ranking, that doesn't mean that you stop working. That doesn't mean that you can just coast. Everything after that, you still have to earn. And especially going into a college, it's a whole other beast. Like you can be number one. And then when you get into college, it is just a whole nother learning curve that you have to try and pick up. So yes, embrace the moment, be super excited and grateful, but at the same time, almost make that even more, you should be more hungry after that. Like, okay, what can I do now? What's the next thing that I'm going to try and get after and try to achieve? And like write your goals down. For me, that was huge, was just writing things down and making sure that this is on paper. I'm holding myself accountable now. for whatever I want to achieve next.
I love that. Yeah. Stay hungry. It's like you said, just a number. Like, you haven't done anything yet in college, right? So stay hungry and get after it. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Obviously, yeah. So your number one recruit, you, I'm sure, were given many offers from other colleges, but why did you choose Wisconsin?
Yeah. So back in the dinosaur days when I played, you could commit as early as you wanted, and there was no rules in terms of talking to coaches. If you were, as long as you were on campus, you could speak to them and, you know, they could come to your club practices and just watch and things like that. And so I started going to Wisconsin camps very early, probably when I was in sixth grade, I would say. I think sixth grade is kind of when I started all of this. And just really grew to love the campus, the fact that it was only 2 hours away from home, and just the coaching staff at the time. Just kind of loved everything about the university. So, freshman year came around and the coach at the time, Pete Waite, gave me a call in the spring and was like, "Hey, what do you think? Do you want to commit?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't want to go anywhere else. So let's do this thing." So I ended up committing when I was like 15 years old.
Wow.
And it's the best decision I ever could have made.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think differently now, especially with the new NCAA rules about not committing and talking until junior year. And that's fine and dandy. But I know for me and my situation, it was always going to be Wisconsin. And even when the coach left and that coaching staff change happened my senior year, I still decided to go to Wisconsin because for me, it was the full experience. It was, you were going to have a lot of fun outside of volleyball in school, great academics, and then, of course, amazing athletics across the board. So for me, that was the full package. My family could come and see me play every time at home. And it was just, the best decision I could have made.
And you're from, sorry if I get this wrong, are you from the Chicago area?
Correct.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. I'm like directly 2 hours south of Madison.
Okay. Oh, so not that far. So yeah, your family was able to watch you and everything. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you, I love cheese curds. Were you big into cheese curds in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Yeah. Only if they're like deep fried and then I can dip.
Okay. So not a squeaky cheese person. Oh, and yes, I'm a fried as well. And you have to have ranch. Yeah. I'm the same way. Yeah.
Oh, ranch. I know people who aren't from like the Midwest or like even overseas, they're like, "Ew, ranch." You're like, you don't even know. It's the
don't even
best.
Know. Have you tried on a pizza? Come on.
I know. Oh, whoa. Don't say that too loud for the Chicago.
I know. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I literally put ranch on everything. I'm from Texas. But yeah, we do ranch on everything.
Oh, amazing.
What? I completely lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you something. Oh, we're talking about Wisconsin. What was your favorite memory from playing at Wisconsin and actually just going there? You mentioned, you know, just having the student life and life outside of volleyball too. What's a favorite memory you have?
There's probably two, one of them volleyball related, and that was in 2013. It was a complete Cinderella story. It was us just kind of trying to rebuild the program. And here we are stumbling into a national championship, match, you know, and for us, it was going to Seattle and being in the Final Four and then ended up beating Texas in four sets that year. That was beyond incredible. Just talk about a Cinderella story and what a great run. So volleyball wise, that is my favorite memory from Wisconsin. I would say along those same lines. Okay. I have three. Sorry.
No, keep going, please.
The other one was, unfortunately, we lost to Stanford in the Elite Eight, I want to say. Yes, my senior year. And it was, that was a hard-fought match. We played a five-setter the night before and then ended up playing Stanford, went to five there, and we lost at home. So it was my last match in the field house, last match in the Wisconsin jersey. And the field house was filled, and they just gave us a standing ovation, all of the seniors that were graduating and moving on. And like, I get goosebumps just now thinking about that. By the way, it's 80 degrees in the house. It was so powerful and so moving just to see everyone in the field house, like applauding the seniors and now it's a tradition. Every time it's your last match, everyone stands up and applauds and you just kind of take it all in. So those are my two favorite like volleyball memories. And then like non-volleyball was probably when, I want to say it was 2014, the Badgers, the basketball team, advanced to the Final Four. They beat Kentucky on like this insane, again, Cinderella kind of story. And I just remember State Street was jam-packed. The campus was going wild and just also a really great, fun, you know, Badger experience. So, yeah.
What year was that again?
I think it was 2014, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that because I had just moved to Colorado Springs and we have a bar downtown called Tony's, which is a Wisconsin bar. Great cheese curds there, by the way, if you're ever in town.
Always.
But yeah, you remember that. And it was just packed for the Wisconsin Badgers game. That's really
amazing.
Cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, that's so cool. I apologize. I didn't know that you had won a national championship while you were there.
We went to the national championship match. Yep. And then lost in the national championship match my freshman year.
Okay. Yep. To Texas.
Won against Texas and then lost to Penn State.
Lost to Penn State. Okay.
Yeah, they were our Achilles heel.
Those programs are pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Wisconsin also a great program and they just won the national championship as well.
Indeed.
Yeah. Did you, I know your Dana Recchi's on the national team and a few others are in the program as well. Did you talk to them through that journey to the championship, anything like that?
You know, it was more actually with the coaching staff that I was kind of saying good luck and, you know, kind of wishing them well. Being overseas during that time, it was kind of hard to watch the matches. So although I knew ahead of time that they'd won the national championship, I saw, of course, everyone was texting everyone and the Twitter feeds and da da da. But I did go back and I watched both the semifinal and the final, this past year, when they won it, just cause I wanted to like fully experience it. And honestly, the level at which college volleyball is at now, even from when I played, it is, the difference is astronomical. I mean,
really?
These girls are a very high level, playing just a different tier of volleyball than even a couple of years ago. So I'm loving the way kind of NCAA volleyball in general is moving. I just think it's getting very advanced, very like national team esque. So,
ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And yeah, cool that you're able to notice that evolution. And not even that far removed from playing in college either. That's super cool.
Yeah.
That match too, that final match, I just read that it was like 19,000, close to 19,000 people watching that, which I think is a record for that NCAA championship match, which is incredible.
It is. And I think viewership as well is massive, being on ESPN. And
yep.
I think it had more than some of the baseball games and things that were on. And I know that's having a big movement right now in NCAA volleyball. Places like Hawaii and Texas and Wisconsin and Nebraska, of course, are all just making huge pushes to be on TV more and get more TV time because volleyball is a huge sport and there's just so much, I think, possible media attention that can come to volleyball. And yeah, I just think that we are very deserving of more TV time. So.
Yes. Yeah. I'm all for that as well. And we have, you know, the Athletes Unlimited League, is here in the US now and mm-hmm. more ways to watch than ever. But it can still, you know, I think it can still be better, especially with international volleyball. It's so hard to watch the national team athletes with their clubs too. And behind paywalls and stuff, but what, I guess, yeah, just speaking of just the growth of volleyball and popularity of volleyball in the U.S. specifically, what do you think, you know, what do you think we could do better, you know, as USA Volleyball, as just fans of the game, you know, media companies out there, what can we do better?
I think there's two main things. One of them is us helping the athletes, whether it's NCAA, national team, any type of professional players in the States, kind of closing the gap a little bit. In terms of us reaching out to fans on social media and things like that, saying, hey, these are when games are, this is who I am, kind of letting them see us on a more, I don't know, just like professional, personal level, and kind of closing that gap a little bit. Just seeing them or having them see us more authentically. I think that's huge. And I think the other part of it is these TV stations and streaming services getting volleyball on TV and just making it not so difficult to try and find a streaming service. And then you have to subscribe for this. And then, oh, wait, this card doesn't work. You have to watch it at this specific time. There's just so many roadblocks, and it's not easy to watch volleyball or see volleyball right now or find it. So again, I think just us helping close the gap a little bit and letting fans see us and watch us on personal channels and on TV, and then just getting more opportunities for us to be on the airways and letting people watch a sport that is the ultimate team sport and fun. And there's people always scoring a point. There's just a lot happening. Whereas that's not the case in other sports. So fingers crossed that we can kind of keep pushing the dial and putting it in the right direction. And we get, you know, another professional league coming up here in a couple of years. So I really like our odds there of succeeding as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just that, like I mentioned, that 19,000 in the stands at that game. And, you know, not every game is going to be like that, obviously, but that shows the potential of what it can be too. So, you know, if
exactly.
I'm really hopeful, you know, I have no control over this at all, but I'm really hopeful USA Volleyball can do more events like the USAB Cup and be able to host more international competitions. Cause I think that will, you know, just only help the sport grow and continue that popularity after college for volleyball and show that there's more than, you know, just college. It doesn't end there, which I think, you know, the average fan doesn't know about international volleyball, you know? So
totally.
Yeah, I think that's cool. And I actually wasn't at the USAB Cup, but how was that experience just being in SoCal in front of the home fans?
It was awesome. The fact that we, you know, sold out Long Beach State, the fact that we were able to interact with everyone, and it just felt like normal again. It felt like a little taste of college and pre-COVID, honestly. And yeah, just really great knowing that our friends and our family and our support systems were able to watch us in person live on US soil. That does not happen almost ever after NCAA and after college volleyball. So just having that opportunity to have, you know, our support systems there with us. And then just be able to interact with fans and take pictures and sign autographs, like having that outreach is so important for us. So I'm glad we got the opportunity to do it this year and, you know, get a little sneak peek for what's to come at World Championships.
Yeah. And staying on the international volleyball side of things, you've played in a couple different countries. Where are you at now?
So,
or can you say? I think I accidentally outed Eric Soji in my interview. He accidentally said where he was playing next and I hadn't announced it yet. So I have to say that. Yeah. Can you say?
Yeah. So I'm going back to Italy. Prior to this, I was I did Italy, Russia, Turkey. So I'm going on year six and I'm heading back to Italy. It's called Casamaggiore. And it's about an hour 15 south of Milan.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. That's so cool. What's your favorite part about playing internationally?
Yeah, I think my favorite part about playing internationally is just the fact that we get to experience so many different cultures. And I say this to people a lot, the fact that we get paid to, first off, play a sport. And second off, play overseas where people have to come, like people pay to travel, but we are paid to travel and play a sport that we love. And I think it's just very, I don't know. We're lucky and blessed that we do have the opportunities to go and play overseas and kind of pick and choose where we go as well. And just get really great experiences because even in Russia, when I'd say, oh my, yeah, I played in Moscow. Everyone's like, you played where? Like in Russia? And I'm like, honestly, they're some of the nicest people I've ever met. And I just really enjoyed my time in Moscow. Shockingly, I love the cold, so it was not a problem. And kind of just breaking down these barriers and preconceived notions are very important, and it opens a lot of people's eyes. So I think that's very, for me, that's very important, is just kind of understanding the culture, embracing the people there, and learning more about them, because we can see them worlds away, but we're all really not that different.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Great, great ending there. That was cool. Yeah. What, as a setter, and I know on international teams, and I think it's different between leagues, how many international or foreign players you can have like in that country on that team. Yeah. So sometimes you're the only American on the team. As a setter though, that's gotta be super mm-hmm. challenging. How do you break that? Like, how do you deal with that challenge mm-hmm. and being able to communicate with your teammates, especially during a match?
Totally. Russia, it got very challenging. I was the only American on my Russian team. And being a setter, of course, you have to be able to communicate. So I truthfully did not learn any Russian, just the very, very basics. And I had a teammate who was Czechoslovakian, Czech Republic. And she spoke Russian, though, from the prior season. So she was kind of the one to be my translator, in a sense. If someone else needed to say, you know, higher, lower, faster, what do you need? So she helped me a lot that season. And then in Italy, it's a little bit more of, you're in Italy, you're going to speak Italian, whether you like it or not. so you kind of learn pretty quickly.
they don't try to help you either. I've only spent 3 days in Italy, so I can't really speak to it, but I remember, they don't even try to help you. Exactly. You have to speak their language. Yeah. Which it's is fun true. To speak too. It's cool.
Very romantic language. Very cool language. I kind of got to the point where I could understand, even if I couldn't respond right away. I could understand and then switch and kind of learn how to communicate that way. So sometimes it's they're speaking Italian, you're speaking English back, and we're kind of understanding what's going on. And then in Turkey, our coach was actually Italian, but everything was conducted in English. So really it's a year to year thing. And it kind of just depends on the personnel around you and the staff and things like that. So you make it work and you adapt and you adjust, and really great lessons for when you get out into like the actual work field. Once I get done playing volleyball. So everything else will seem easy peasy. mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. And just, what a cool experience. Like you said, just to be completely immersed in that culture and mm-hmm. be forced to learn to speak the language and the culture and the foods too. And having to figure that out, how to shop at a grocery store.
Oh my gosh. The first time you go into a grocery store in a foreign country, you have to allot. It's like you're going to Target here. You have to allot an hour and a half.
Yep.
Like, it's that simple. Yep. You're over here with Google Translate going up to every single item.
That's awesome. Just want to check in with you. Are you still good on time? We have a few more questions, but just wanted to check in.
All good.
Good. Yeah, cool.
I'll stop rambling so long.
No, you're good. I mean, it's my fault, 'cause I just jumped off script at the very beginning. So, staying with the international, it's, you like you said, it's not always easy, but it's an awesome experience. But you do have to sacrifice a lot too, playing overseas. Yeah. It's, 7 to 8 months out of the year you're overseas. But could you talk a little bit about the sacrifices that professional athletes have to make? And then, specifically for yourself, what are some of the sacrifices you've had to make?
I think, especially as I get older, friends and, family and things like that, people start getting married and having kids. And I'm kind of at that age to where I'm having to make the hard decisions, or the decision is made for me. I'm overseas. They have a wedding, friends have a wedding, not going to be able to make it or attend. So that's kind of what I'm working through now a lot. Even I was in my best friend's wedding in July. We were leaving to go to Turkey. And so it just so happened I had to miss the rehearsal. I had to move my flight back a day, flew in, got to, it was in Michigan, got to Michigan at like 1 a.m. got up at wow. 8 for hair, makeup, went to bed that night, and then flew to Turkey the next day. I drove to Chicago 3 hours the next morning, got on a flight, went to Turkey. So things like that happen a lot. You'd be surprised. And then also just the time difference doesn't help being, depends on where you are, but 7-8 hours away from everyone. You're could be lonely for a good part of the day. And then being willing to maybe stay up a little later to be able to talk to friends and family and FaceTime and connect. And I'm grateful that we even have that ability because, you know, 15 years ago, you didn't have the chance to be able to talk to people. A lot of it was you had to, you know, you can't see anyone face to face. So, gosh, props to those people who did that. That would have been extremely difficult. So yeah, just sacrificing things like, maybe not talking to people as much as you would like, or at convenient hours of the day, and then just missing important, holidays. Like when you're in Italy, you don't get to go home for Christmas. You plan 23 and 26 of December. And you know, those are really tough times to kind of be alone. And so finding other Americans, whether they're on your team, or in your general area, is huge. And being able to, you know, have Thanksgiving together. Those are the times that really make the biggest differences, and kind of banding together and, you know, just celebrating those holidays where you can and when you can.
I think I've seen a few of those. I manage our social media at USA Volleyball. So I see a lot of those pictures and those are some of my favorite, cause you, not always in the same country too, but you travel, you know, across the countries and like you said, you have holidays and big Thanksgiving dinners together. Just, that's so cool. Some of my favorite content for sure.
Yeah. You got like outsourced turkey. Well, they don't really sell turkey in Turkey. So you got like outsource it from Italy. It's a whole thing, but people make it happen. We make it happen.
Yeah. That's so cool. That's awesome. Well, I want to kind of get over to the national team side of things.
Yeah.
We've heard so much about 23 strong, just at VNL in Shreveport. We celebrated the 23 strong, with a dinner. You guys had a dinner celebration and then at the arena too, and got to meet fans and everything. That was super cool, to see that. But in your own words, what, and for the listeners who aren't familiar, what does 23 strong mean?
So 23 strong, basically it is the group of women who helped us get to an Olympic gold medal at the end. It was the people who were there every single day, grinding it out, trying to make rosters for that quad. And so when we came up with 23 strong, it was this idea, of togetherness. It was, a culture, it was a mindset. And it was very family-esque. And so when we talk about 23 strong, that's kind of what it all encompasses. And it's very powerful. And it's something that I know all of us will hold true to our hearts, forever. And, just because, you know, there's this amazing thing at the end, that's these 12 women went and won the first ever gold medal for USA women's volleyball. And knowing that they had to leave some of us behind, but we all helped us get to that point and got the program to that point. And so being celebrated, as 23 strong was, I mean, just so powerful. And, we never felt excluded. We never felt like, they did this. It was, we did this. And we were all a part of something bigger than ourselves. So it was just incredible to be able to be celebrated and celebrate again, the 12 who ended up winning everything. Just an amazing culture that we've built here at USA Volleyball.
Yeah. That's so you said it perfectly, powerful. Especially I think even more so for this specific Olympics with, COVID, obviously no fans were able to be there, in person. So, you know, those gyms, those arenas were empty, and very quiet. And so just to know that there, it's not just that team there, that team knew they had a whole team back home, that was with them. That's just so cool. I love that 23 strong. Yeah. Really cool. Where I don't think I've asked this to, and I'm unfortunately you weren't on the roster for our listeners who don't know, You weren't on the Olympic roster, but you were part of that 23 strong. Yeah. I don't think I've asked anyone who wasn't there at Tokyo, what does that mean for the program, winning gold for the program? What does that mean for you personally and then for the program as well?
I mean, it was huge. It was very cool to watch that journey and kind of how we grew, knowing all of the challenges and setbacks that had happened over this quad. Thinking going into 2020, it's going to be a normal year. COVID hits. We're not able to get together. We have a ton of Zoom meetings. And we start kind of rebuilding this culture and this 23 strong. And that's kind of where that was born in that really difficult time in 2020. And then 2021 comes and it's a sprint, right? Like we're getting to VNL, we're getting in this bubble. And some of us had to hear really hard news. And so again, banding together, giving each other grace, and supporting each other at the same time, it was just so unique. And we've talked about it quite a bit since. It's just, you don't find this type of support and this type of culture anywhere. Whether it's in different professional sports or, normal workplaces, it was just, again, really powerful to watch all of these women, go and do something great for our sport. The first, being the first at something is really, really hard. And it's not going to get any easier. But just exciting to know that we only have what, almost 2 years now until the next Olympics. So just being as good as we can and trying to get 1% better every day, knowing, hey, that was cool. That was awesome. And now we're refocusing. We're going into world championships now. Next year, we got to qualify. And then boom, we're back at the Olympics. So just, it's going to come quick. That's all I know.
Yeah. Man, that's the women's national team program. I mean, I saw it when I was at the dinner in Shreveport, and just hearing the stories of everybody who got up and spoke, I was definitely crying. I was trying to, I know there probably wasn't a dry eye in the house there, but, and I'm not even a part of it, but I was crying behind my camera lens for sure. Those stories are so powerful and you could tell, just how tight, you guys are with each other. You're truly a family. And that's just so cool to see that. And very exciting for the program too, as you, prepare for Paris here. But before Paris, we have the World Championships coming up here very soon.
The team leaves on Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. As the team, the program is gearing up for Worlds, how is the team approaching it? You know, coming off the Olympic gold for the program, definitely a target on the backs of you guys, as you prepare for this, number one in the world. What are the goals going into this tournament?
I would say the biggest thing, honestly, for us, we never expect to win anything. We know that when we step on the court, everyone is going to give their 100%. They're coming for us. We won an Olympic gold medal, but we didn't have the greatest showing at VNL, especially in the match against Serbia. And so for us, we took a little break after VNL in early summer, took 2 weeks, came back, and we were just hungry. We knew that we had about a 7-8 week training block to be able to just grind it out and get better and focus on the little things that we needed to. And I feel like we're pretty well prepared right now. We've grinded it out. It's been a long training block and it was good that we had Turkey here to kind of break up the monotony of it all. And we're ready to go. We're kind of like grinding our gears, getting ready. Just knowing how hard it's going to be and how challenging the schedule is. And the level of teams is extremely high. So we're ready to go. Like we're gearing to play up ready to gear up and play against anyone because we just want to compete against someone other than ourselves, honestly.
Yeah. What about for yourself personally and for everyone listening now, if you're listening, when this comes out, the roster probably won't be announced until maybe a day or a couple of days before, the tournament, but whether you make the roster or not, for you personally, what are your goals for this season? you know, minus the tournament, obviously thinking about the tournament, but for the season heading into, you know, this kind of the tail end of the quad here as we head into Paris.
Yep. I think for this tournament specifically, just being really good in my role and whatever is asked of me, being, I know a lot of people for myself, I rely on my passion and my fire for the game. And so when my number is called and when I need to be out there, I'm bringing that fire, I'm bringing that passion and how I play, and just kind of giving that energy to everyone else. I think that'll be huge going into World Championships. Again, it's a really tough tournament, so everyone has to be ready to play at any given moment. And then after that, kind of switching gears and going into professional season, right? And just sharpening the sword a little bit and finding little things that I can keep improving on, and just doing the very best I can for my professional team. We have good pieces. It's just a matter of how quickly we can put it together and, you know, kind of find our footing. Cause I think we finish World Championships October 15th. If we go all the way, and our first Italian match is October 23rd.
Oh my gosh. one of those hop back on the plane type deals. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you have to go back to America. And I'm like, yes, I do. So yeah, it's just going to be, it's going to be a grind, but I'm super excited. I know everyone is in the same boat. We're just ready to go and ready to rumble and ready for whatever's next.
I'm super excited to watch the team. And for everyone listening, volleyballworld.tv, you can watch all their matches there, and watch them go through the competition. Cheer them on. That's awesome. Staying on the women's team really quick. And there's a lot of new faces on the team that have come in since Tokyo. Who are some of the surprises for you that maybe even just the players that you really enjoy playing with or setting for an attack?
Oh boy. I'm not going to pick favorites, but I would say like me and Annie Drews have been kind of in this dynamic duo for quite a long time since we both got to the national team. So I always enjoy playing with her and just her calm energy. Allie Franti has been just a really nice surprise. She and we are lucky enough to play on the same pro team this upcoming season. So we'll be on the same Italian team, and I just really enjoy playing with her because I think we have very similar styles of how we play. Fiery, passionate, a little bit obnoxious at times. You're welcome, everybody. So yeah, we just kind of feed off of that energy, and it's really, really, really fun to play with her. And then honestly, Kelsey, I've just had a lot of fun playing with her and just kind of watching her grow. We went to the same club when we were younger, so watching her grow and progress throughout her career has just been incredible. And I'm just proud of the leader and the player that she has become, and can't wait to see what she does, you know, in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. What, you know, for everyone listening who might want to tune in and watch, why should people want to watch the women's team, especially through World Championships coming up here?
Yeah. I think we've been challenged and we've been pushed, and we always know how to respond. And I think it shows in how we play, and how we communicate. And I think this tournament, even Karch said it today, it's the toughest tournament to be able to win in, just with the schedule. And so, I don't know, I love how we play and our tenacity and just kind of the fire we bring as a whole. So yeah, I mean, if you enjoy good volleyball and you love watching, you know, fiery girls get after it, out there on the court, then tune in, check us out. And, yeah, we're going to be balling out here in Europe in a couple days.
Yeah, couldn't give a better endorsement for that. Volleyballworld.tv. Watch them. Watch them play. Cheer on USA.
That's right.
One last thing before I let you go. The school tryouts have been going on across the country. They might be done in some parts. Club tryouts will happen soon if they haven't already. What's some advice you would give to someone going through those tryouts right now, and maybe even, you know, someone who might not have made the team? What's some advice you have for that?
Yeah. I think everyone's heard the story of Michael Jordan not making his high school team. And, I know for me, they cut me 1 year just to honestly, like, teach me a lesson about, being humble and being grateful and hard work, just being a hard worker, they let me back on the team. That's a whole other thing. But I would say whether it was the results you wanted or not, whether you made the team that you wanted or not, never give up. Given whatever role you are in, first off, ask for feedback and say, hey, what could I have done better? What can I do in order to improve to make the team that I want to make or wanted to make? Be willing to have those conversations, because the people in charge of those decisions, if you're asking those questions, they're going to be like, wow, this girl wants it. And then she's seeking out information and trying to be a learner and make herself better. So ask the questions to those people making the decisions, and then just keep working. You never know. I was 5'7" until I was a freshman, and then I grew like 5-6 inches. You never know what's going to happen. And so continue working towards something. Whatever you're passionate about, just go for it 100%. You're never going to look back and say, I don't know, at least for me, like, I never want to look back and have regrets on what I did. So go for it with your whole heart, work your butt off, and don't limit yourself.
Great advice. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Lauren, gosh, I think we could keep talking for another couple hours here, but I'm going to let you go to enjoy the rest of your day and kind of prepare as you kind of finish up training there before Worlds. But before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or share before we say bye here?
I don't think so. I just think I wholeheartedly believe in people going after things that they love and they're passionate about and they believe in. So believe in yourself, find a great support system who can support you, whether it's your teammates, your family, your friends, and don't ever be afraid to ask for help. Whether you need it or whether you want extra time in the gym, whatever it is. Yeah. Don't be afraid to reach out for a helping hand.
Awesome. Where can people follow you on social media or wherever to ask you questions or just follow your journey?
For sure. Instagram is my main thing that I use, and I believe it is just at Lauren Carlini.
That's right. Awesome. Lauren, such a great conversation. Thank you so much again for taking the time, and hopefully we'll have you back on soon here down the road.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye. Clarence, you're a busy, busy man. We really missed you on that interview yesterday with Lauren and that conversation. I let her know that you're usually here, that you were off coaching, and she certainly understood. And but yeah, definitely missed you on that conversation.
I'm so sad I missed it. I was so excited for the interview, but you know, unfortunately, that's when I had to stick around a little longer with the decision being made, and we definitely had to prep for today's game that is happening at the time of recording later on this afternoon. Again, wish us the best of luck. And yeah, I did miss a great interview. So
that's all right. You'll catch the next one. That's the beauty of podcasting. We always have another episode.
It doesn't stop. Every other Wednesday, guys.
That's right. Man, yeah, what a great conversation with Lauren. Kicked it off with a curveball, went off script right away and asked her you know, something that her fans, that fans of volleyball don't know about Lauren. And she said, not so much now, but growing up, she was a huge video game nerd. And I loved that. She was really into RuneScape growing up, which if you don't know, that's just like a multiplayer online fantasy game, which is like the nerd of nerd games you can get into, which I love because I'm into a lot of those too. So
that's nerdy than World of Warcraft.
Ooh. Yeah, that's it's right up there. And I love
games too.
Yeah. I'm glad I asked her that question because I didn't know that about Lauren. And I'm sure many of you listening didn't know that either. So that's awesome. But yeah, one of the big things that stood out for me was her advice to athletes coming out of high school and going into college. You know, she was reflecting on coming out as the number one recruit out of high school. She was Gatorade Player of the Year as well. And just that, you know, the pressure that comes with that, the excitement, you know, that comes with that, the energy for a young athlete to be given those honors, to earn those honors and awards. But in college, she mentioned the pool smaller, the talent is much greater. So while those awards and recognitions are great, you got to stay hungry and keep trying to improve and get better because everyone is great at that level as well. So, yeah, you might, you know, listening here, you might finish your high school season, your high school career, top of your recruiting class. You might be coming off a state championship. But yeah, stay hungry, stay open to improving. And that goes for the opposite end of the spectrum too. You know, maybe you didn't make the playoffs for your high school team, or, you know, you're not at the top of your recruiting class. That doesn't mean you can't be great though. So many athletes on the national team in the USA Volleyball history of our programs can tell you that too. So that was just great advice that stood out to me right away in our conversation with Lauren.
I think she made a really good point too. I mean, 23 strong, you know, the last games, the team that ended up going, the 12 that ended up going on to win, you know, the gold medal in the Tokyo Olympic Games. You know, that was 12 out of that 23 woman program, and they were 23 strong. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very likely of a chance that anyone, any roster set, any lineup, any overall plan of that 12 could have interchanged and the outcome could have still been the same. And, you know, it's a really a good testament to everyone in the program that helped them get and build the camaraderie and the mentality and just that team that went on to win gold there too. So again, 23 strong.
Yeah, that was really cool to hear her perspective on it, not being one of the ones in Tokyo. And even like made me think about, you know, our conversations with Penny Lucas White and Rita Buck Crockett, who had been through the program years ago, but they're still involved now, communicating mm-hmm. with the current team and following along during the Olympics. And yeah, just like you said, a testament to that program and the culture that they're building there. Super exciting to see them continue into Paris here.
Mm-hmm. This gave me chills, you know, really good connection there too. Those are mm-hmm. some really great interviews from, you know, amazing athletes. And, you know, you never lose touch. Once you're part of the program, you're always part of the program. And, you know, the fact that they lean on each other and, you know, rely on each other and build each other up and encourage each other throughout, you know, all of the selection processes and, you know, just throughout the journey of what it is to be, you know, an athlete on the national team, you know, just really means that they're, you know, a legit family, and that's never forgotten.
Yeah. Like we mentioned at the top, the roster is not set yet for the FIBB World Championship. Mm-hmm. You can expect that to be released shortly before the start of competition, which begins again September 23rd through October 15th. You can watch on volleyballworld.tv. I looked at the subscriptions right before this. $7.99 a month, Clarence. That's a Starbucks drink.
That is. I don't go to Starbucks, so hey, there it is.
That's a Starbucks drink. That's a meal at McDonald's.
That's pretty expensive for a Starbucks drink, but we'll talk about that in the next episode.
Hey, once you start adding cold foam to your lattes, you know, it gets pricey.
Even if you're bougie, just say that.
You know? No, what I'm saying is that's all it is. Like, support Team USA. Yeah. The level of volleyball is incredible. This team is incredible. Lauren gave a ringing endorsement for why you should be watching this team play and compete. So, and, you know, on top of it, they're the Olympic gold medalists. Come on. Absolutely. So, yeah, we don't get many chances to watch USA compete. So take advantage of this opportunity to watch them. And enjoy watching great volleyball. Again, you can watch live volleyballworld.tv September 23rd through October 15th.
Well said. And I retract my Steven is bougie quote. But on a more serious note, a big thank you again to Lauren for taking the time to meet with the team. I'm so sorry and I'm so sad that I missed out on an amazing, amazing interview. But again, thank you for taking the time before you head off to the FIBB World Championship in the Netherlands. You know, you guys subscribe, watch. You're not going to want to miss out on this. We hope you have enjoyed the conversation. We hope you can follow the team as they compete at Worlds. You can follow them on social media and on Instagram at USAVWNT. That is on Instagram, and also at USA Volleyball on all social media. And also you can follow Lauren on her personal social media on both Instagram and Twitter at Lauren Carlini. And I think time to move on to some upcoming events. I hope you're ready, Steve.
I'm ready to go.
I hope you got your Starbucks drink in hand, too.
I am ready to go. Let's go. For upcoming events, we have the 2022 FIVB U19 Beach World Championship in Izmir, Turkey, September 14th through the 18th. The 2022 Men's U21 National Training Team Block in Anaheim, California, September 21st through the 30th. The NTDP Fall Training Series in Phoenix, Arizona, September 23rd through the 25th. We also have a few beach tour events coming up on the junior side. The SSO VA September Anna Marie Island BRQ in Coquina Beach, Florida, September 17th through the 18th. Mad Sand Juniors BRQ in Plano, Texas, September 25th. The Chesapeake Wave Fall National Qualifier in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, September 25th. Good luck to everyone competing and participating in those events. For more details on all upcoming events can be found at usavolleyball.org.
Also, at the time of this recording, which would be on Wednesday, September 14th, registration will be open for Salt Lake City Showdown. Yes, that is the 2023 Salt Lake City Showdown 18s qualifier. So make sure you get your 18s team signed up and registered for that event. It's going to be a blast. Just a reminder that.
It's great having an event manager on this podcast.
Yes, I had to throw that one in.
I love that. No, thank you for that.
I'm setting that event up too. So yeah, again, if you guys have any complaints, I didn't do it, but also maybe you did. Anyways, we are also reminding you for the third time, because it is that important, that the U.S. Women's National Team will be competing at the FIVB World Championship September 23rd through October 15th. Stay tuned at usavolleyball.org and USA Volleyball social media for updates. And you can watch live on volleyballworld.tv. Subscriptions right now are, again, a Starbucks drink of $7.99. That's all you need. Follow along.
Starbucks is going to come after us.
I hope not. Just a reminder, you guys can also listen to rate, review, share with friends and families and teammates. Those on volleyballworld.tv if you would like. You can email us at usavolleyballshow.org as well. Leave us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know about any other topics you want to hear about. Let us know about any other guests you want to hear about or just listen to on the podcast. And we will do our best to make that happen as well. You can also reach out to us if you know about a club that should be featured. You can email us at theusavshow@usav.org to leave us additional feedback. There are so many avenues that you guys can reach out to us and just let us know what you want to hear on this podcast. We really want to shape this for you, our audience, our friends of the pod, and show you guys how much we appreciate you guys. And thank you. reminder, new episodes drop every other Wednesday with the occasional surprise episode, depending on how we're feeling. But until then, we'll see you all next time. And thank you all for listening to the USA Volleyball Show.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producer is Laura Fawcett. Our marketing lead is Bree Jaycox. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.